world's greatest danger. The world's greatest danger. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us and speak to hearts and help us to understand that it's eternity that really matters and not the short amount of time that we have on this planet. Sometimes in frivolous occupations, sometimes in seriously seeking something better. But Father, ultimately it turns to dust if it's not rooted in something that's lasting. We thank you that you've given us truth that will endure. Bless as we consider this important subject today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Slight earth tremors awoke the residents of a lovely coastal Italian city on that morning, the 24th day of August. The citizens of that progressive city were accustomed to idyllic days in their popular tourist setting, which city overlooked the deep blue of the Mediterranean. Sometime around mid-morning, the community heard a muffled explosion and noticed a large smoke plume emitting from the top of one of their most famous mountains, Mount Vesuvius, as it began one of the largest volcanic eruptions in recorded history. Most people looked on more out of curiosity than alarm, but it wasn't long before wave after wave of panic swept through that fateful city of Pompeii and the surrounding villages. Before that fateful day was over, some 16,000 people had died, either burned to death in lava and volcanic gases or smothered in volcanic ash. And it was August 24th, 79 AD, that marked the end of the glorious ancient city of Pompeii. It was chronicled by a man named Pliny. This is Pliny the Younger. Pliny the Elder died the next day, presumably of a heart attack after the eruption of Mount Vesuvius and the destruction of the city of Pompeii. Over the years, we've heard and read of many catastrophic events, and we've experienced some, like Mount St. Helens in Washington State a few years ago. There have been a lot of cataclysmic and catastrophic events that have marked our nation and our world's history over the centuries of time. We think most recently to things like Hurricane Katrina and Ian and a lot of refugee crises that are occurring in the world today. We think about the war in Ukraine. We think about terrorism and global warming, and these are all considered to be dangers to our existence. And the destruction of the world's rainforests may rank high in some people's minds. Pollution may be something that a lot of people dread. There are many natural disasters that occur in our world, and historically it is said that on average since recorded history, 45,000 people per year die from catastrophic events, and they are on the increase. Earthquakes and floods and storms, people experience injuries and homelessness and death and economic collapse and terrorism and nuclear war, and there are a lot of things that could threaten us. But this world's greatest danger is one that lurks on the horizon of every individual. That's what I want us to consider today. Look with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is the danger for those who are unprepared for the day of their demise. The Bible states to us that everybody will die one day and face eternity. And the greatest danger that we experience is that eternal danger of our very soul. Hebrews 9:27 says these words, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, people resist with all their being the idea that I'm terminal. And most people would spend their last dollar for one more week or one more month or one more year or even one more day of mortal life because they're unprepared to face eternity. And those who wear sweatshirts or t-shirts that say, "No fear, no fear," and that was a trend here a few years ago, they still have fear. They still fear facing death because nobody's alive to tell about it, what it was like. Nobody who's still here has experienced that. And so that becomes the greatest danger to the eternal human soul. Jesus Christ himself in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 said, "What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world?" You know, Bill Gates or the equivalent of that person. What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is it? What good is it if you succeed in everything that you consider to be important, but you end up losing your own eternal soul for all eternity? That's the greatest danger that we face. And even if we don't want to face the fact, we are all terminal. We're going to die one day. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And every day we hear of some tragic event of somebody who died, an untimely death. We hear of children who were shot, or somebody who perished in a tragic traffic accident. And you can't help but say, oh, they didn't live out their years. They didn't live a long and fruitful life. They didn't have the opportunities that so many people have of dying of natural causes, dying of old age. And the fact of the matter is, everybody, whether we live to be 90 years old or whether we die at 19 or 9, everybody's going to face eternity one day. And we will, even if we don't want to face the fact we are all terminal. It's a sad and shocking thing to hear a doctor say, your case is terminal, you're going to die, and nobody wants to hear those words. But this is a fact of life, that we're going to die one day. And it's so critically important that we be prepared. The part of the text that we've read is verse 27, as is appointed unto men once to die. And some people dig deeply into theology to state that, oh, what about those people who were raised from the dead? Did they not die again after that? Well, this is not an absolute statement, but it's a rule. We're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. We're terminal. That's the point. We are terminal. And it's so important that we be prepared. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that tells me death is in our genes. Yep. It's there. We're going to face eternity one day because we are children of a fallen race. We're children of a fallen federal head of the race, Adam. And in that sense, you know, racism is an erroneous term in the first place, because we're all of the same race. Right. We're all of the human race. And if you want to go back to Adam, that's fine. If you want to go back to Noah, that's fine. But we're all of the same race. We're all humans descended from that same progenitor, if you will. And we're going to face the same end one day. Death is in our very nature, and the human race is sinful by nature, and so the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 3 speaks of the fact that everybody is subject to this same condition. There's nobody who seeks after God on his own. There's nobody who does good on his own. There's nobody who's righteous. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 3:19 that we're all guilty. We're all guilty before the God of eternity. And someone may think that they're trying awfully hard to be good. You know what? You still have the old sinful nature, and you're still going to do things that are displeasing to God. Sin is the violation of God's holiness. Sin is the transgression of God's laws. And the Bible says that we're all subject to that same thing. We're all subject to sin. And some people imagine they can find a way to live forever, and that if you have enough money, you know, whether it be by cryogenics or by or by finding, you know, some kind of immortality solution, some kind of a medical answer to the physical death issue. The fact is, the most you can do is extend your life by a little bit. And I think if you avoid naturally destructive things, you'll live a little longer than some people. But you're going to die. I'm going to die. And what then? What then? And the fact of the matter is, God is the only one who has answers for that. You know, the evolutionist says, when you die, you're dead. That's the end of it. It's not the end of all things. The Bible says that God made man different than all the beasts of the field. He put in man an eternal soul. And you're going to live forever somewhere. And where you live, God has said, is your choice. It's my choice. It's up to us to decide. He woos us. He convicts us. He draws us to himself. But whether we accept or reject him and his grace and his love and his mercy is up to us. And so we are, in one really true sense, the determiners of our own eternal destiny. And it's not how hard we try. It's whether we accept his provision for us that makes all the difference. Sin is not some harmless pastime. It's not some fun interlude, entertainment without accountability. No, sin always carries with it a penalty. And sin always brings with it accountability. We're accountable to the God who made us. And just as sin defined is transgression of God's law, it also, the Bible is also very clear that sin causes a degeneration which produces destruction and sorrow and defeat and finally death in the human condition. And it's up to us to decide whether we'll accept God's grace or not. He's left us with that opportunity. And somebody may be very adamant about the fact, oh, nobody can force me to believe anything, and that's absolutely true. I have freedom to be whatever I want to be. That's absolutely true. You do. We all have the freedom to be what we want to be. And God in his love and mercy says, I have a better solution. I have a better answer than yours. I have one for you that works. And real salvation works. Real salvation is effective in the life of the person who invests himself and who pursues that truth. There will always be a payday. And one case in point in this is that death is sure. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And after death comes judgment. And that's what Hebrews 9:27 is about. It's appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Philosophically, the prominent view of life in America, at least today, is called postmodernism. And what that means basically is that truth is what I want it to be. Truth is whatever I choose it to be, whatever I decide, whatever I think is best for me. As if truth is subjective, as if truth is not absolute, as if truth is whatever I want it to be. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you have that right, but don't try to make it look like truth is subject to your whims, because it's not. God is an absolute God. And you know, our entire world is based on absolutes. You get up in the morning by the rising of the sun, and you plan your life based on the weather, especially if it's December or January. We're all subject to the laws of nature. We're subject to absolutes. And life is filled with absolutes. And God created this world to be governed by absolutes. And so there's no way that we're going to escape the accountability of the absolute God. God marked the beginnings of the human family, and a lot of people disagree with that, and they have that privilege. They have the right to disagree with God and not accept God's grace and not accept God's answer as being the true answer, but it is. And those who have invested themselves in truth understand that truth is truth and error is error. There are two tragedies that inescapably assign themselves to man's, oh, truth is what I want it to be, view. First of all, you're still going to face failure in marriage and failure in personal endeavors, and you're still going to be disappointed with life generally. And the second tragedy is that you're still going to die and face the eternal judge over your sin. You're still going to face death and eternity, whether it fits in with your truth view or not, because that is reality. And people can go on in their own way and insist on their own way and say, I'm going to live life as I please, and be disappointed and fail and find, you know, themselves bumping their nose against all kinds of unmovable objects as they proceed through this life. And then when life is all over, they die and they still face a godless eternity without the Lord. And that's a double tragedy. That's a double tragedy. I want to do what I want to do. Okay, do what you want to do and live your life as you please and separate yourself from the truth of God, but you cannot permanently do that. One day you will face the reality and you'll find it an inescapable reality, because we're all going to die one day. And after that, the Bible says, is the judgment. Just as the fatalism and the fatalities of the city of Pompeii were undoubtedly, those people were shocked as they found themselves hurtling into eternity on that fateful day. So it is with people who face death and eternity today. I believe that there are those, a lot of folks who die and they're stunned with the fact that it wasn't good enough, it wasn't enough. I thought if I was a good person, I thought if I tried my best, I thought if I just submitted to what my religion or what my church says, that would be sufficient. The fact of the matter is, we need to submit to what God says in order for it to be sufficient. We need to accept what He has said about it in order to be properly prepared to face God and face eternity one day. And so, you know, it's a matter of believing the gospel. It's a matter of submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 12 with me, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to verse 21, and we'll read some verses that apply to this particular subject. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, and he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Yeah, we have that choice, but the fact of the matter is, I think it's probably true, if a person could be interviewed, did you expect to die when you did? Nobody does. Oh, I'm going to come through this. I'm going to pull through this okay. And whether it's an accident on the highway or whether it's an illness or a disease, nobody expected to die when they did. Hope springs eternal in the human breast. I can come through this okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. Everything will work out all right. And this is a fallacy that some people convince themselves of. Everything happens for a purpose, and there's a reason for it all. It's all going to shake out okay in the end. That's not true. That's not true. Everything happens for a purpose, according to Romans 8:28, to those who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a plan. He's watching over His own. If you reject God, friend, you're on your own. If you reject the truth of God's word and reject His salvation, you're on your own. And anything arbitrary, anything by chance could come upon you. And who's to stop it? Because everything does not happen for a purpose, for a reason, for a good reason. To those who do not love God, only to those who submit to Him, according to Romans 8:28. And here's a man who invested and he gave himself to earning lots of money and storing up lots of commodities. And he said, my barns are full. I need to build bigger barns. And the Lord said, Jesus Christ said to that, God said that to that man, you're a fool. Because you've got lots of stuff laid up for many years, but you're not going to live to be able to enjoy it. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who's going to get all those things? I remember Solomon, the king, who was the richest man, the richest king ever to rule in Judah. Under his direction, the nation reached a high zenith of wealth, and they had a lot of stuff. And he said, who knows when I die if I'm going to leave all that to a fool? Who knows what'll happen to it? And in reality, that's exactly what happened. All the stuff that I've laid up, all the stuff that I've saved, all the stuff that I have gathered, it's going to be gone when I pass from the scene. And it was true. That's exactly what happened in Solomon's case. It wasn't very long before his posterity had squandered all the riches that he had accumulated. And he said, what good is it? That's the reason Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It doesn't really matter. It's all empty and vain. What good is it? What good is any of it? Oh, I can enjoy it while I'm here. The fact is, friend, you won't be here that long. And if you happen to be one of those who has been, you know, kind of generous with what you had, and you get your name on a lift station, or you get your name on a rock at a city park, or you get your name on a bridge, it won't be very long before somebody says, who is that guy? Who is that guy? What'd he do? I don't know. We know that rock, we know that bridge, we know that park, but what did that person actually do? We won't leave our mark. Somebody said, you put your finger in a bowl of water and pull it out. That's how much of an influence and a mark we'll have on the future generations. And only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done with eternity in mind is going to make a difference. But, you know, one of the blessings of knowing Christ, of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and dedicating yourself to follow Him and serve Him is this, that you have the opportunity to change the face of eternity. You and I have the opportunity to change the face of eternity. What a great opportunity that is. But only if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. Otherwise, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about myself. And that's going to pass away very quickly. But here's the good part. The same God to whom we'll give account one day has made a provision for our eternal life. I've quoted Romans 6:23. A couple times during this message, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm not talking about religious activity. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about confirmation or catechism. None of those things can save the soul. None of those things can do away with our sin. We've got to, in our heart, and the fact of the matter is, some people go through baptism and confirmation and catechism, and that's the last thing that they're thinking about. That's the last thing that comes into their mind, is that there's a God in heaven who has some expectations for me and some plans for me. They just want to get through this ceremony. They just want to get through this thing. And that's evident. You say, how do you know that? That's evidenced by the fact that so often when somebody gets through their catechism, their confirmation, they never show up. They never darken the doors of the church again. There was nothing there for them in the first place. But how about the Word of God that says this is a life, this is a way of life. You commit your way to Jesus Christ, and He will never leave. He'll never depart. He'll always be there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll always be there. And that's the good part, that after judgment, after a person has faced the judgment for their sin and they've accepted God's answer, that there is eternal life in store for them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And some people who once used His name as a curse or an expletive now praise Him and glorify Him because He turned my life around. He gave me something worth living for. He's done something in my life that I could not have done for myself. And that's what salvation is. It's something God does for us that we can't do for ourselves. And no matter how hard you work at it, friends, you'll never get there. Some people make a point of being very religious. They want to be good. There aren't too many people who are as evil as they could be. We think of ways that we could do something dastardly or evil to somebody. And in most cases, we say, no, I'm not going to do that. That wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be the best thing to do. That wouldn't be the choice. I could end up in jail for that. Most people are not as evil as they could be. But we all have that sin that dwells within us that we need forgiveness for. We need Jesus Christ as Savior. The greatest tragedy is if you go through your whole life and you die and you end up losing your soul. That's the greatest tragedy of life, is a Christless eternity. I quoted the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning when I said in Mark 8:36, He said, it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, that's Hebrews 9:27, sorry. He said, what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And verse 37 is like it, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It amounts to the same thing. We trade off something for our eternal soul, and if we're unwilling to make that choice, we will pay the price. We'll pay that consequence. And so, what is your decision today? Will it be for Jesus Christ? Will it be to accept the salvation that He so freely offers because He paid for it Himself? It's not a matter of being good enough to earn salvation. It's a matter of accepting God's gift of salvation, God's gift of forgiveness. And I turn my life over to the Lord. You know, the word repent means to yield or to change one's mind. It means to surrender. It implies I'm surrendering to God. It doesn't matter what it may cost me. I yield. I give up. I'm done. And I'm turning my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that's the path to salvation. That's the path to forgiveness. That's the path to eternity in heaven with Him. And not only is there joy and reward for eternity, but there is blessedness in this life as well. Somebody said, and I think it's true, somebody said this life can be a little bit of hell on earth, or this life can be a little bit of heaven on earth, depending on whether or not we'll submit to God's plan for us or not. And we have that opportunity, we have that choice. And what will your choice be today? If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, what will your choice be? Will you bear your own sin? Will you face the penalty for your own sin? Will you carry that curse into eternity with you, or will you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and on your deathbed be able to say with calmness of heart and with peace and reassurance, it's okay. It's okay because I know that my God is in control. I have submitted to Him, and Jesus Christ has taken my sin debt, my sin burden upon Himself. so I don't have to worry about paying that. Do you know that people and most people don't come home from work and say to the other person that's in the house, don't bother me for the next 30 minutes. I'm going to go sit on the bed in the darkness of the bedroom and think about death. That's not a common response. But friend, one of these days you'll consider where you're going to spend eternity. You'll think about your own eternality and your own death. And the important question is, am I ready? Am I ready to meet the Lord? This is the most pressing issue of eternity. And every one of us will face this great danger. It doesn't have to be a danger. I've written a gospel tract that the name of it is, Where is There Safety? Where is safety? And the answer is, it's in Jesus Christ. There's safety in Jesus Christ. And I don't have to worry about facing eternity and facing God's judgment. Do you know, friend, that you, if you are a child of God, you will never, ever, 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 ever have to stand before God and Him be your judge. He's your Father right now. But you'll never, and when you die, He'll take you joyfully to heaven to be with Him. But you'll never stand before God as your judge. Do you know you can't win if you stand before God as judge? You can't win. Because the fact that you're there implies that you've never been saved by the grace of God. Have you been forgiven? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? And if you don't, will you seriously consider this mandate and seek the Lord today? Let's pray.